2 weeks ago, we started Gideon. Actually, I guess it was 3 weeks ago we started Gideon. And we had learned that for 7 years, the Midianites had been invading Israel. They were invading Israel during the harvest. They were coming on their camels. There were many, many people. And they were taking all the crops, taking all the animals. People weren't able to live in the valleys. They were hiding in the mountains. And during today's text, the eighth invasion starts. Okay. But this time, the invaders are going to have a fight on their hands. We'll be getting to that next week. The text today says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he called his neighbors to fight. He blew the horn. Maybe it probably was a shofar, as Jody used. And his neighbors came together. He called them, and they came together. They were going to fight this army. See, this was the time that God was going to act. The Holy Spirit was clothed over Gideon, and the Holy Spirit's power was being unleashed. This is God's timing. Now, there are people who will try to tell us that if we have enough faith, God will do what we want when we want it. Okay? If I have enough faith, healing will come today. Some might tell me that unless there is sin in my life, God will give me what I want today. The idea is that God always wants to give us victory over all things right now. It's compelling. It's popular, but it's not true. For 7 years, the Midianites have plundered the Israelites. In the text, this year, the eighth year, God is going to give victory through Gideon. God will see victory because the Holy Spirit will work through Gideon this time. God works his will in his timing. This is something I just want us to settle in our hearts. God works his will in his timing. I bring it up because, first of all, it's around us a lot. And secondly, it leads plenty of people to doubt their salvation. It leads plenty of people to doubt God. I mean, if I had a dollar for every person since Billy Joe got sick who has told me that either I don't have enough faith or there is sin in our life that we haven't confessed, and that's why Billy Joe is sick, I would pay the roof alone off and there wouldn't be any blue hair thing. Okay? It has been 2 weeks, roughly, just under 2 weeks since somebody told me that. Okay? This stuff happens all the time. And I want you to understand that it's not true. God works his will in his timing. How many hundreds of years were the Israelites in captivity in Egypt before God freed them? See, you can't rush God. You and I can't do that. We're not big enough to hurry God. As a little kid and you grab a hold of your dad's hand or your mom's hand and you're trying to pull them along to get them somewhere. You know, they might rush along with you. Or if, you know, older folks now, a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild pulling you along, trying to get you somewhere. They can't really do it if you don't want them to. And this is even a bigger difference. Okay, you can't push God. I mean, you might as well try to push the earth out of orbit with your bare hands. Okay, I mean, if any of you think you're strong enough, you know, give it a shot. You're not going to do it. You can't rush God. But you also can't stop God. You can't hurry him, but you can't slow him down either. And that's actually, I think, the more important lesson today. Things look hopeless in this text. Okay? When the Midianites come, they come in huge numbers. In chapter 7, which is next week's lesson, it says that counting their camels was like counting the grains of sand on a seashore. I don't know if I have been to the seashore, not this week, but I've been to the seashore, and I have never really tried to count the grains of sand, even in a handful, let alone on the seashore. I guess it'd be a way to occupy time. But that imagery is what it felt like for the Israelites to look upon these invaders, right? They're everywhere. It's like, it feels like every camel ever born in the world is in Israel right now with the Midianites. That's how many Midianites there are. The enemy is huge and the enemy is fast. Fighting them seems absolutely impossible. The situation looks hopeless. It looks hopeless. That's why for 7 years the Israelites haven't fought. But the situation is not above God. And it's not hopeless when God decides to act. Next week we'll see how God delivers Israel. But he does. Today is Independence Day Eve, and tomorrow we celebrate the 4th of July. We celebrate the birth of our nation. We celebrate the freedom that we have, the freedom that we enjoy, and for the most part, take for granted. I know I do. I don't even think about the idea that I would have to get permission to travel to the next state. Right? I mean, last Sunday I went down to Pennsylvania for a family reunion, and the only permission I got was from Billy Joe. Yeah. As long as I have enough gas, enough money to buy the gas in the car. I mean, here in the country, where can't you go? I mean, where may you not go? Maybe there's some place you can't go, but where may you not go? I can think of places I wouldn't want to go, like Death Valley. I was there once. It's a good place to be from, far from. Just, it was horrible. But Death Valley is too kind of a name for it, I thought. But we take our freedoms for granted. We take our prosperity for granted. You know, I don't even think about it when I turn the light switch and the lights turn on. I don't even think about it when I turn on the water faucet and I actually get cold, clean water, drinkable water. Right? I have a hard time finding water that's not drinkable. Really. We can even drink out of our hoses if we want to. I think it's good and it's right to celebrate. Celebrate what we enjoy. I think it's also good and it's right to thank God for all that. This is all a gift from God. I don't think you have to have an argument over whether the country was founded on Christian values or not to understand that this is all a gift from God. Everything we have. I mean, it is by God's grace that we were born as Americans. If you weren't born as American, it's by God's grace that you're here. It's by God's grace that we're here now instead of, you know, in the middle of the Civil War. Or whatever. It's by God's grace that we enjoy what we enjoy. It's even by God's grace that you get to hear my jokes. There's good sides and bad sides, isn't there? But you know, our nation is in decline. I don't need to say how. We see it. Many things feel hopeless. All kinds of things. It feels like we're beyond the ability to turn around. The enemies are too big. They're moving too quickly. The slope is too steep and it's too slippery. Fighting seems impossible. So let's turn to God. He can't be rushed, but he can't be stopped. Psalm 11:3 says this: when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When everything is falling apart, what does the follower do? It's not just a rhetorical question. I think it's a great question for us. When it seems like things are falling apart, where every time we turn around, it seems like we have more bad news. You know, is there any hope for my grandchildren to have half the quality of life that I have had? Is there? What do I do when it seems like everything is falling apart? Well, let's read the rest of the psalm. This is Psalm 11, starting at verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. That's a good start. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows of the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Here's the answer. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. When everything is falling apart, we turn to God. He is still on the throne. He is still righteous. He is still just. He is still upright. He still does what is best. He still does what is right. He's not 50% in control. He's not 90% in control. He's not 99.9% in control. He's 100% in control. There is nothing beyond him. Nothing. I just think we have to trust him. We have to seek his face. I think no matter what things look like, we follow him. 3 weeks ago, I asked each person to consider a question. What is one thing that you could do to follow God more humbly? I asked you to think about a couple of things. I said, you know, right here where you sit, think of two or three things at most that you could do that would help you to walk closer to God. Don't think of any more than that. And then I said, you know, maybe something needs to stop in your life. Maybe something needs to be added to your life. You know, maybe something takes too much time and you just need to pare it down. But what is something you could do? And then pick one. Just pick one thing that you could do to walk closer to God, to draw closer to him, to recognize him in your life better. And then let's each do it. Let's do it. Pick the one and start now. And what I would ask you to do is today, if you remember picking something from 3 weeks ago, keep going. Maybe you did it for a day and you stopped. Maybe you've been doing it for 3 weeks ever since. I'm still working on mine. If you let it go, start it up again. If you weren't here 3 weeks ago or you just don't remember me ever saying this, you know, maybe you slept through that part. Pick one. And I would ask you to do one more thing. Tomorrow, 4th of July, at some point in the day, when you get up, you know, before you go see fireworks, before you have your picnic, whatever your plans are, okay? Before you take your nap, that sounds like a good 4th of July. Whatever you're going to do, at some point, say a prayer for the country. Say a prayer for the leaders, for the citizens. Pray for revival. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus is our only hope. It doesn't have to be long, but pray for the country. Ask God to move. The Lord Jesus is our hope. You don't rush him, but you can't stop him. As a reminder of the hope that we have in Christ, we're going to celebrate communion today. We remember that Jesus died for us and rose again. And he is in heaven and he is alive. And in him, we have life forever. As his life is forever, so is ours when we are living in him. That hope cannot be taken away.